afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, April 30th, 2007. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the Indie Business Coach, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, your business, your way. Today's show is sponsored by TKB Trading, where you can get the colors you need to make your soap and cosmetics products stand out from the crowd. Visit TKBTrading.com, where you can get a 10% discount on your purchase now through May 7th. Today, Google announced a new online product aimed at being a one-stop shop for searching the federal government's websites. Just one more notch in the company's ever-expanding belt of Internet services. You know, Google's mission to organize the world's information and make it universally acceptable is no big secret, but how to best use the massive search engine to get more traffic to your website as a small business owner is anything but public information. To help us sort through the choppy search engine marketing waters, we've got an expert on today's show. Catherine Seda is an Internet marketing veteran, Entrepreneur Magazine columnist, and the founder of Seda Communications, where she helps organizations in the U.S. and Europe leverage their Internet marketing resources. Catherine is the author of the recently published book, How to Win Sales and Influence Spiders, and she is here today to share how you can use your website to attract new customers, search engine spiders, and the press simultaneously, killing all those birds with one stone. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Catherine.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Do join us with your questions or comments by calling toll-free 800-773-0355. Now, Catherine, Google is a really big word in the world today, and you just can't have a business without knowing how to interact with them. Can you comment a little bit about your experience and from your background on how they have just exploded?
Well, they keep growing in popularity, that's for sure. But I do want to point out there are a few other players to keep in mind. You can't just focus on Google. I've heard another speaker say, don't put all your eggs in Google's basket because you're relying on only one search engine. Google gets about 45% of all U.S. web searches. I think that's the latest statistic I had seen. But then you've got Yahoo coming in at about 20% and MSN at about 10%. Then you have Ask Jeeves and AOL, but those are really under 10%. But do keep in mind you want to spread yourself across a couple search engines because the search engines can bring you a huge amount of traffic, and Google certainly, you know, most of the lion's share. But you don't want to only be locked into Google thinking, you know, there aren't any better deals around, because there may very well be.
Well, that's a really good point, Catherine. Let me ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
Assuming that Google gets 45% and the rest of them are pretty much behind them,
mm-hmm.
For a small business owner, are there enough synergies between all the companies and how they work so that if you maximize for Google, you get some spillover effect into the other search engines? Or do you have to learn 6 or 7 different ways to maximize your website for 6 or 7 different search engines?
We've got two kinds of search results. So can I explain that first?
Please.
Okay, because they work slightly differently. So when you look at a search engine like Google and you type in, I think you mentioned cosmetics and so forth earlier. So let's say someone typed in lavender soaps, because they want to look for that on Google. So you'll notice that there are two kinds of search results. Across the top and usually on the right-hand side, there are pay-per-click ads under a sponsored links kind of heading. So this is where you can bid on any keyword you want, or keywords that are relevant for your business, I should say, and show up in these paid ads areas, usually within a few days, maybe even within 15 minutes. It happens that fast.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the organic search results, and those are listed, they're also known as the free results. And you notice under the sponsored link heading, there are a whole bunch of other websites.
Right.
And Google does a pretty good job of showing more of the free listings than some of the other search engines do. But by optimizing your website design and putting keywords in the right areas, getting links to your website, this is the area where you can get a free listing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's across the board. Getting what you just described works with all the search engines.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so let's talk for a second about...
Sure.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I wanted to get back to your question on where should you, you know, are the search engines pretty similar? There are, I'd say overall, there are some pretty big similarities. So that, for example, by having keywords in your meta tags, keywords in the body copy of the page, keywords in the area of, if you have an alt image tag, you have images and you can put keywords instead of naming it, you know, photo.jpg, for example, you can use keywords. So when you mouse over, you would actually have the keywords show up. Those kind of areas for the organic search results. Then, and that works pretty similar. And on pay-per-click, because of Yahoo's huge change February 5th, they announced something called their Panama platform, right, their brand new platform. Now there are a lot more similarities between all the search engines. Okay. So on the pay-per-click side, it's how you get your ranking here is a matter of what you're willing to pay per click and also a quality score, which can include things like your click-through rate, the relevancy of your ad that you get to write, factors like those.
Okay, so there's a lot of things to cover there. Let's
Sorry, I kind of threw it all in.
No, it's good because it kind of it's very helpful because what it does is kind of set the stage for what we need to talk about in our hour today. You mentioned the meta tags and the alt images and the text for the website. Let's do that in a second. But first, okay. I want to ask you to tell people who may not know how search engines work and what are spiders.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, since someone might be wondering about the title of my book.
Mm-hmm.
What are spiders and why do we care? The search engines send out spiders to crawl the web, and they look for web documents to put inside their databases. So, for example, if you look at, you do a keyword search for lavender soaps on Google, Google does not go out at that particular time and scan the entire web universe. That would take forever.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is kind of pre-collected web documents to put inside its database. So that way, when you look at lavender soaps, for example, Google then looks through its own database and ranks the pages within its database to say, well, these seem to be the most relevant for your search. So in designing a website on the free side or the organic side, you're trying to optimize your site to really grab the interest of search engine spiders, to get them to come see you, to crawl your site and go, ooh, look, there's a lot of good relevant information here.
So that's why it's important, as you said, to have specific keywords embedded in different places in your website.
Correct.
So let's talk about those specific places that that content is embedded. What are the categories of those so we can just kind of have a list of them?
Sure. Let me take this up one step and talk a little bit about keyword theming first, because I think mm-hmm. this is where the people who do play a little bit with search engine optimization, they rush in and they go, great, well, I'll just put keywords in my meta tags and I'm done. And so I'd like to explain the importance of creating a keyword theme for your website.
A keyword theme, like S-E-A-M?
Theme, T-H-E-M-E.
A keyword theme, okay.
A theme.
Go for it. Yes, let's
okay,
hear about
good.
That.
Okay, so it's easiest to come up with, let's say, Sears, for example. Let's say you have an electronic, a big all-in-one shop like, you know, Sears.com would, something like that. You actually want to think of your website as having categories, keyword categories. So you might have multiple pages. You're not going to want to optimize every single page of your site or every single page for the same set of keywords. You want to think about, first of all, what's my top-level keyword theme for the website? What do I most want to be well-known for? And then you think about the pages fitting into certain categories, like keyword buckets almost, for example. So if you're an all-in-everything store, there might be a category for household appliances, for electronics, for a car fix-it product kinds of things, automotive
right,
supplies.
Right, or beauty products.
Right, or beauty products. Right.
And different kinds of categories of them, okay.
So you want to think about creating keyword categories for the different pages of your website, and I think might be easiest if I actually switch over to a client that I had worked on for invitations, wedding invitations.
Great.
So, for example, because many entrepreneurs might not have the all-in-everything shop, they might be pretty targeted.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to switch examples. So let's say you're selling invitations. Specifically, wedding invitations is the biggest. So your entire website, you go, great, if I could show up number one for invitations, that would be sweet. That's also very, very difficult because it's a single keyword. There are a lot of websites that want to show up for that. However, that's your main keyword theme. Then let's say you've got some pages on your site that are really about wedding invitation products. Maybe you've got some product categories that are really about birthday cards or birth announcements.
Mm-hmm.
So these all support the main thing of invitations, but each set of pages will have its own specific keyword theme. Like wedding invitations could have unique wedding invitations, custom wedding invitations, you know, elegant wedding invitations.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm hoping I'm not losing.
No. I'm hearing is that you start with the big picture.
Right.
What's your main focus? It's wedding invitations, or let's just say maybe it's soap or whatever it is. And then you may have different kinds of soap, herbal soap, organic soap, or whatever kinds of invitations you have. So you need to have another level of keywords for those pages.
Correct. And, yeah, I'm glad you could go to the soap example. I don't know enough about soap. You were able to pull those right out of your hat.
No, that's okay. But the correlation is not that difficult. I'm sort of giving two examples and
great.
And making it, I mean, you're making it really easy, actually, to extend it, because there's the big picture and then there's different pages and there's different keywords for each one.
Yes. Now, do you want to jump into a little bit more on the specifics?
Yeah, and so once we pick the overall keywords for the website, then we have different keywords for the pages within our website, which are more specific than the overall keywords, right?
Correct.
So you set those up, and then what are some of the other things you mentioned that you can do to maximize that?
I'll start with this one, although don't put this number one on your to-do list. If you're in the process of a redesign, then you can consider this option. But putting keywords in your URLs can help. For example, maybe your company name, you know, you have a company URL and it's www.companyname.com.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can have slash, and let's say, sticking with the wedding invitation site, maybe it's weddinginvitations.asp or JSP or HTML.
Right.
So instead of just calling it, you know, productcategory1.html, that's not really going to help you out.
Right.
Now, I say only this is helpful when thinking of a redesign or if you're launching a brand new business, because if you have an established website, it could take a lot to completely redesign it and changing all the URL file structures.
Right, and you don't want to have broken links out there.
No. So that's a second generation of search engine optimization.
So, Catherine, let me ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these generic shopping carts
put that
kind of product number 1, 85672 in the browser window when you're looking at a particular product, and you're saying that that doesn't help you.
It really doesn't. There are other things you can do that are going to be weighted more importantly or more important than just changing the URL file structure, but there, I think shopping carts like Yahoo is very search engine friendly. If you use something like oneshoppingcart.com, you can have a custom website where you can optimize it and then just plug in the little shopping cart features. For example, click here to visit, you know, to order products, but you still control the URL of that information. It's just there are certain links that then tap into oneshoppingcart.com system.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. So let's talk about the things that you can change, you do have control over.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with the most simple one is meta tags. And there may be people on the line who are going, I heard meta tags don't even work anymore, and should we use them? They're not the end-all, be-all they were back in the mid-90s, where you could put in meta tags, and I'll explain what those are in just a second, and then your site would jump up to a number one ranking in AltaVista or InfoSeek. Doesn't quite work that way, but you still need to have them. They're part of a core search engine optimization foundation.
So meta tags are different from keywords.
Correct. But they include your keywords. There is a meta title, a meta description, and meta keywords, and this is information that's placed inside the code of your website pages.
Mm-hmm.
And you do want to put keywords in this area, especially the title tag, because when you look at the web browser, at the very top, if you're on a website, that's you'll see the title across the top of the web browser. That's the title that someone's created for that site, and usually that title is what shows up in the free listing areas as the title of your website listing.
I see. Okay.
So you definitely want to have good keywords in there. Most importantly, you have to have the keywords on the page.
And okay. We're going to talk about the content that
content.
You have on the website when we come back from our first break.
Okay.
We're here this afternoon with Catherine Seda. She's helping us make some sense out of the search engine quagmire. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here with Catherine Seda, search engine marketing expert, and before we took our first break, she was sharing with us some of the things that she suggests you've got to do in order to get the search engine spiders to be attracted to your website. And before we left, Catherine, you had just started to talk about the content that you write for your website pages.
Yes. This is a key area to put keywords in your website, because otherwise the search engine spiders don't know what the web page is about. I'm not going to get into the whole keyword density analysis to figure out, you know, exactly what percentage you should use to the number of times you should put in a keyword. So I'd start with this. Generally, sprinkle the keywords throughout the page. It should definitely be within the first 200 words of copy on a page, somewhere within the middle of the copy, and again, repeat it at the end. Now, be real careful. You don't want to just have a website that reads really weird to human audience, so that if it says, you know, lavender soaps, we create the best lavender soaps in the world. In fact, come enjoy our store of lavender soaps, you know.
Right.
That just reeks of spam right there, and the search engine spiders are going to flag you and go, oh, yeah, that's just a spammed website.
Oh, really? They'll flag you?
Oh, yeah.
You could basically cut off your nose despite your face.
That's right. So always think when you're writing your content, think human audience first, and I get asked, well, should I focus on putting the keywords in or writing first? How do we do it? Take the time to write your copy for the human audience first. Put in the headlines, your call to action, your benefits, and then go back and say, okay, what are my keywords for this page, and how many times do I say them? Because you might find out, wow, you know, here's this really important keyword phrase, and I only mentioned it once in 500 words of copy. Well, the search engine spiders certainly aren't going to think that page should rank for that particular phrase if you've only used it one time.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So you want to choose those and sprinkle them liberally without being obnoxious.
Correct.
Okay, so the other thing that you mentioned was putting certain tags on the pictures and the images.
Oh, right.
How can that help?
Okay, and I think I might have messed up the description of this earlier, so bear with me. I was rambling, trying to come up with 100 different things to share. And just so you know, Google considers over 100 factors when ranking web pages. So there are a lot of them out there. I'm trying to point out a few of the highlights during this call. So alternate text. This is text for an image that's placed inside the code or HTML code, for example, of that image. And this is something, have your internet geek set this up for you. Unless you're a webmaster, you don't have to know how to set this up. Just say, hey, are we using alternative text? This is what's shown to people with text browsers or handheld devices and also screen readers for people with disabilities. And the good news is search engine spiders also see this text. Again, you don't want your webmaster putting your keyword phrase in there 10 times and doing keyword stuffing. But, for example, if you have a picture of lavender soap, put lavender soap as the alternate text.
Okay.
And sometimes they're called alt image tags or alternate text.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Now, we're arming all our readers. They're going to go to their, or listeners, they're going to go to their webmaster and say, are you doing this?
Well, I mean, those are really good questions, and that obviously you want to ask them. And
yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
When you're hiring a website designer or reevaluating the one you already have, how important is his or her ability to do the things that you're describing? I mean, obviously, you can have a great website designer who, you know, is really good at graphics work and maybe good at programming, but this is a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
It is, and fortunately, there are a couple different ways that you can work. It is rare to find a designer who knows search engine-friendly website, but if you can, oh my goodness, it's worth paying more for that person or that agency. Because you'll cut down, you'll already start with a search engine-friendly website.
Right.
Now, if you have a website, I don't want you to panic, or maybe you've already hired a designer, but you could bring in a search engine optimization consultant or agency even before your new website goes live. So let's say you've only been shown the homepage design. So you can have someone else take a look at it and say, is this design search engine-friendly? I mean, maybe you're a web designer whom you love, put the whole homepage in Flash. Well, search engine spiders can't really sit there and watch a Flash presentation.
Right.
So they'd be able to tell you, ooh, yeah, this is not good. A little Flash presentation within the website is fine, but don't use an entire Flash website as your homepage.
Well, that's a good tip right there. So,
right.
so for this kind of consulting that you're talking about, are there different kinds of things to look out for when you're going to hire a search engine company?
Sure. Anyone who guarantees a top 10 ranking, run. Because it just can't be done. The search engine spiders are constantly changing what it is they're looking for and how they're going to evaluate web pages and rank them. So no one can guarantee ever a top 10 position. If they say that, they're probably just buying pay-per-click ads, or they've already got websites in the top positions of search engines, and they're going to simply just put a link on that website to yours and drive traffic to you. So they can't guarantee rankings, and they can't guarantee traffic.
Well, that's kind of sneaky.
Yeah.
So you have to ask questions about whether you're really optimizing my website or whether you're just taking my fee and spreading it around the Internet in the hopes that other websites will bring people to me.
Right, so that they might, you know, if they're guaranteeing a top ranking, they're spamming or they're just doing pay-per-click and putting your site up that way, and that's not really accurate either. Yeah, there are a lot of questions. I've been burned, actually. As long as I've been in this industry, I've been burned several times while working at agencies and on my own by some search engine folks who said they, you know, promised one thing and delivered something or didn't deliver at all. And I'm that's probably the saddest story I hear is from the small business owner who said, you know, I paid a few thousand dollars to my webmaster and never got a website.
Well, you know, Catherine, it's interesting, too, because now that you mention it, I get emails quite frequently from people who invite me to add a my website. And then I click through their website, and they are a consultant for a business that has a business that, you know, would be of interest, I guess, to my website.
Mm-hmm.
And
are they asking you to link?
What you're talking about, right?
Are they asking you to link? Is that the purpose of their email?
Yeah.
Okay. So the third factor we didn't talk about, if we kind of lump things into three categories for search engine optimization, there's the website design and structure, there's the content of the web page, or the website, I should say, and then also the third critical factor, probably the most important, is actually link popularity, getting quality websites and blogs to link to yours.
Right, and when I responded that, you know, if you link to me, then, you know, maybe I'll link to you. Let's talk about it. I didn't commit to that, but because, you know, I wanted to know more, but I never get responses back.
So you might get, there's automated software programs out there that'll find websites that are already ranking pretty well. First of all, you should say congratulations to yourself, because obviously your website's ranking pretty well for something.
Yeah. <that's laughs>
Because they found you.
They found me. They want to be on it. That's good news. But
yeah. Now, a lot of these programs, whenever I always delete those emails, because first of all, on the few sites that I've been really, you know, the sites that have gotten hit on, basically, I don't offer links off of those websites. So I know they really haven't, a person has not taken a look at the website. They're using automated programs to go see that, wow, this website ranks well. Let's send them an email message.
Yeah, I do get a lot of those, but every now and then I get one where I know it's been there.
So if these are people that you can tell it's more of a custom email, then evaluate the website or blog to see if it makes sense for your audience first and foremost. There's no point being on link-infested directories where, let's say, it's like, hey, we'd love for you to, you know, we'd love to trade links with you, and it's a page of 1,000 links under this business directory. Ooh, whoop-de-doo. That's not going to do anything for you.
Right.
So you really want to trade links with quality websites that also have relevant content to yours. Because let's say there is a soap-making magazine. A link from that website, which is an authority website to yours, ooh, that's perfect.
Nice stuff. The
search engine spiders will see that your website is relevant, and now they'll associate those two sites together. And, quite frankly, your target audience is sitting on that website.
We're talking with Catherine Seda today. She is a search engine optimization expert. Do join us, 800-773-0355, with your comment or question. I know all those indies out there, you guys have websites. This is a great opportunity to get one-on-one comments and input from someone who really knows this field. Now, Catherine, a minute ago you mentioned blogs.
Mm.
Let's talk about blogs. Do I have to have a blog now?
You don't have to have one. I love how you put that. Do I have to have one? I know.
Let me tell you why I asked it that way. Because as you probably, when you deal with small business owners too, it's like, okay, I've finally wrapped my hands around my product. I finally got my website launched. I kind of got my marketing routine in place. I'm ready to go. Oh, now I need to do something else?
Right. And more technology. more time.
Tell us about blogging and, not what it is, but how can it help and does it help?
Mm-hmm. It's a huge help, not only to your business, but, again, because my focus is usually search engine marketing, it helps in the search engine optimization arena. And here's why. Blogs are amazing spider bait. They are very, very delicious because they get content, freshly updated content. People are blogging, some of them every day. So they've got content growing and growing on their blogs. And also, bloggers love linking to other blogs. It's a lot harder to get blogs to link to your website because your website is really pretty much it's a company website. It's kind of like all about me and buy products from me. Whereas a blog, the purpose is to share information. So bloggers love linking to other blogs like, here's a great resource site for you. And so they'll link automatically. So that fresh content and that link popularity, search engine spiders love those two elements.
And if you have an email newsletter that's also content-rich, does that serve a similar purpose?
It does. However, search engine spiders can't subscribe to your email. They can't subscribe to your newsletter. So you can put that content absolutely on your blog so that the search engine spiders can see it, or at least part of the content, and say, hey, want the rest of the article? Come on over, subscribe to my newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to put all of that content out there. But you need something for the spiders to see it.
Right.
Now, let me get back to your earlier question because I can just hear maybe some of the listeners going, oh, man, every day. I can't blog every day. You don't have to.
Okay.
To get started, I'd say you're ready to launch a blog if you're ready to write at least monthly. If you can commit monthly or even just post, here's that easy way is to post your newsletter article on your blog so at least you can kind of share the resources you're already creating.
Mm-hmm.
Second, you don't even have to start with the blog if that's just sounding too intimidating, although there's some great, easy tools to work with. Blogger, WordPress, and TypePad. Blogger's probably the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to know any HTML or any fancy-schmancy coding.
Right, and is it free as well?
It is. Blogger's free.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yep. And what you can do is instead of creating your own blog at first, you can go out to the blogosphere. It's kind of it's part of the web, but it kind of hangs out in its own special area, the blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Use Ice Rocket, Technorati, TechNorati,
mm-hmm.
or Blog Pulse, and put a .com on the end of those. To get in touch with blogs that are about your topic, you type in a keyword, see which blogs come up, and you can share some tips or resources on other people's blogs.
Oh, and then you link back to yours.
Yes, because you always get, in almost all cases, you get a link back to your website or to your blog simply by sharing information.
You spelled Technorati. What were the other two?
Ice Rocket, ICEROCKET.
And the other one?
is BlogPulse, BlogPulse. Okay. You know, I really need more coffee this morning.
No, that's good. Maybe I just wanted to make sure for our listeners that, you know, they can
hear it.
In case they couldn't hear it very well.
Sure.
And so once you go to someone else's blog and post there, then you can link back to yours. Now, let's talk a little bit about that posting.
Okay.
Since it sounds like from what you're saying that being involved in the blogosphere is a huge advantage in terms of search engine attractiveness, spider bait, as you put it. When you do that, do you still have to be careful about that kind of spam-type language? And
oh, well, sure. Do not. This is probably my number one warning for participating in blogs. It is not an advertising tool. So you do not say, you know, maybe you found this, and let's stick with your soap example. Let's say you're on a homemade soap magazine blog.
Okay.
And you don't say, great deals on lavender soap, visit my site at, I mean, you're going to get creamed. Your comment's probably going to get deleted, and you could
right.
probably get some very nasty postings about your business.
Right.
That's going to be totally opposite of what you want.
Right. So the idea is to actually join in the discussion and participate and, as they say, bring something to the party.
Right. So if you have, you said, great, well, you know, here, after 10 years of being in the soap-making business, these are my favorite soap-making tools, for example.
Okay.
Or, you know, to get, I love lavender, however, you know, you could even impose a question. I create lavender soap, but, you know, does anyone have other herbs that are their favorites or so forth?
Right. Now, one of the things your book talks about, Catherine, is social networking websites.
Mm-hmm.
How can they be helpful?
Okay.
It's like YouTube and Facebook and others.
Okay. So, for example, if people haven't been on YouTube yet, it's a fun site. Unfortunately, you could spend a lot of time here. So YouTube.com, it's a video sharing website with a blogging platform. So people can upload their videos and then post comments, kind of like a blog, on the videos that they see. So if it would be relevant for you to create a video, this doesn't work for all websites, but you can create a video and upload it there. You might have a site like, why am I, not Facebook, Friendster, other popular one, MySpace.
MySpace, yeah. I could see a Bath and Body Products company videotaping a tour of their warehouse or the soap-making process. That seems to me to be of interest and would generate hits to your website, both from people who are interested in buying soap and just from people who are interested in crafting or whatever.
Sure, the how-to videos. I mean, if you have, some people may have how-to videos on their website. Well, get them out there on the web. Get them out there on YouTube and some of these other sites, and that's how you can get the content out there that will drive back to your site.
Right.
Because in these areas, in these social networking sites, you generally get to create a profile page, which is kind of like a web page inside these social communities.
It's kind of an interesting and fun way to avoid having to learn about Meditech. I don't mean to say it that way, but it seems when I talk with a lot of people, I'm obviously not anywhere near well-versed in the areas that you're so expert at, but it's so confusing, and every time you know, it changes all the time.
Yeah. You're right. It's kind of changing the way search engine optimization works in that, you know, really doing the link trade thing is that's kind of the old way of trading links, going to websites, saying, you know, can I have a link to my website? Maybe I'll link to you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, instead, you can run around to the blogosphere, find relevant blogs, share some, just a few tips, and you'll automatically get a link. There's no waiting.
Right.
You don't have to ask, please trade links with me if I'll trade with you. And
right.
really, you don't really want to trade links. You want links coming into you more so than going out.
Right. And most of the blogs that I visit in a variety of different arenas, most of them don't moderate those comments.
No, that they should. If you have a blog, listen up. You definitely want to moderate your comments because that's the quickest way, if you don't moderate them, that you can suddenly have your blog littered with spam.
Mm-hmm.
And I get these. I got hit hard a few months ago where it was like every day I'd get people wanting to post comments on my blog, and it was the total generic, you know, hey, love your blog, thanks for sharing. And then you could tell by the link it would go to, you know, porn site or a casino site or, you know, they weren't reading my blog and they weren't business owners. They're just trying to promote their products. And
right.
so you need, I always have moderate comments, that feature set to on, so that you can review first. You'll get a little email message that says, hey, so-and-so would like to post this comment. Check them out before you say yes.
Right, right. Catherine, thank you for that overview of blogging and social networking. We're going to take our final break this afternoon. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here with Catherine Seda, internet marketing expert and the author of How to Win Sales and Influence Spiders. If you have a question for Catherine about your website and how your optimization and marketing is going, do join us. 800-773-0355 is the toll-free number. And you can also visit Catherine's website at howtowinsalesandinfluencespiders.com. That's the name of the book. Can't forget that. howtowinsalesandinfluencespiders.com. She's got some great information and tips there, plus an overview of the book and how you can get your own copy. Catherine, before we took our break, you were talking just for a second about blogging. How about press releases, Catherine? They seem, well, let me ask you, how do press releases help an online business, or do they anymore?
They definitely, actually, new life has been breathed into press releases. There are a couple tools that I like at NewsForce and PRWeb.com because they have some search engine optimization tools built in. They'll tell you, you know, how many times you should say your keywords in your press releases. Depending on the level that you buy into, you can even hyperlink keywords from within your press release and point them to your website or blog. I mean, that's huge.
That is huge, yeah.
Much better than sending out a press release by fax. You know, we know where that ends up, in the trash.
Right, or even by email, right? Because...
Oh, yeah. Mm-mm.
So when you're doing... Okay, let's talk about, you know, we're small businesses, there's 24 hours in a day. Okay? You can choose between, I guess, and every business is going to be different, obviously, but you work with so many. For a small business owner, let's just say someone who's kind of got a groove going, the products are selling, there's a little bit of profit coming in, now there's a little bit of money to invest elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of search engine optimization, what are some of the top things they should consider to get more bang for their buck?
Okay, so definitely participating in blogs, because that's free.
Okay.
In the blogosphere. I do advise actually testing, now we're going to take a little break from press releases when we come back to it, doing a test campaign on pay-per-click. On Google, at least on Google, you know, start with $50 or $100 budget so you can test the keywords and see which keywords actually bring you traffic and business.
Let me ask you a question about that, Catherine.
Okay.
If you keyword test for $50 or $100 and Google is getting as much website traffic as it is, and you can go, I guess, and monitor your click-throughs on their website, but what are the chances that you'll actually be able to actually see your ad show up as you're refreshing the Google homepage over and over again with your search?
Okay, okay, repeat that question one more time. Sorry, I just totally blanked out. So why? Because you will see it. If you're bidding on keywords, you will see your ad show up.
Okay, maybe I asked the question wrong. Google has a couple of programs. They have the AdSense program, and then they have the program when you can actually you know, see your ad in the sponsored links?
Correct, through Google AdWords.
Google AdWords, right.
Your question might be, so to control your budget, you can set a daily maximum budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you might say, well, I want to see how quickly, you know, how long $100 lasts. Maybe I want to set a $10 per day spending limit.
Oh, so you can limit it by day, okay.
You limit it by day, so that way, and maybe this is the question, if you run out of budget for that day, then your ads will disappear, and you'll start again, you know, the next day or after midnight and Pacific time, Eastern time.
Mm-hmm. That may be better than doing it by month because you have more control over how often your ad actually appears.
Yeah, you do want to make sure. Now, this is a word of caution. Be really careful. That's probably a huge tip right there when you're starting pay-per-click is that you get the option to set a daily budget. And a lot of entrepreneurs set up a pay-per-click campaign, and they see that as a monthly budget. So they might say, oh, yeah, I'm willing to spend, you know, $500 or $1,000 a month. Well, they didn't realize that that was per day.
Ouch.
So I've run into a couple of folks who have set that campaign up and in a couple days burned through their entire budget.
Ooh, there's so many things to be aware of. You have to always read that fine print.
Right. So just keep in mind when you're setting up a campaign, you know your budget in mind and what's your daily budget, and kind of watch it for at least the first couple days, probably even the first couple weeks. So you've got blogging, because that's free, pay-per-click to actually see which keywords bring you business, writing articles for the web, which you can kind of turn those articles into some press releases when you're ready to pay for additional publicity, because the press releases aren't free. But
mm-hmm.
they start at, you know, under $100 and go up from there.
Right. Now, earlier, Catherine, you mentioned landing page optimization. I think you said that was one of the most overlooked parts of a pay-per-click campaign.
Oh, in my book.
Campaign, really. So what is that, and what can we do about that? This will be our last question before, unfortunately, we have to go.
Oh, no. Okay, so the landing page is the web page you send people to once they click your pay-per-click ad, or maybe you mentioned someone else's newsletter and they click that link. It's a particular page that you're sending people to. So usually I get asked this question most on pay-per-click about how to make your landing page sell more. So there are a few things to do. Make sure that the keyword you're bidding on is in the landing page, because if people type in, let's say, aromatherapy candles
mm-hmm.
or custom wedding invitations, they better see that keyword when they get to the page so they feel comfortable. Oh, great. This is the exact ad I wanted. This is the company I had clicked on.
Right.
I wanted to see this information. And positioning key information above the fold
mm-hmm.
so that without scrolling.
They can see it.
Right. If you say something like free shipping or, you know, 100% guarantee, don't bury that at the bottom of your landing page.
Mm-hmm.
Because people might not see it. Again, they read that in your ad. They got to the website, but they might think, oh, man, I missed the offer. I missed the deal. I'm going to hit my back button and go look at another advertiser.
Right. Oh, Catherine, so much information, so little time. I can't believe that we've come to the end of our time together. But I can tell you that actually you have more than one book out. How to Win Sales and Influence Spiders is just one of them, and the most recent one. And you have a wonderful way of breaking down what would otherwise be kind of complicated and intimidating information for us busy small business owners to understand, and we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining today. If you want to check out Catherine's new book, visit howtowinsalesandinfluencespiders.com, and only the next 50 book buyers will get a custom competitive website report, which has a $295 value for free. Now, that sounds like a really good deal to me.
Yeah, you get to spy on your big competitors.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. I mean, at a minimum, you get your feet wet for the price of a book at what is involved in getting website reports and optimizing your website. Sounds like a real bargain. Thank you again so much for joining us, Catherine. And thank you for joining today, too, my indie listeners out there. Next week on May the 7th, we're going to have Barbara Kay, author of The Top Performer's Guide to Change. She's going to talk with us about how we can use change to make our lives better, how we can welcome and accept it into our lives. And then on May 14th, our special Mother's Day edition, we're going to have some mom business owners to come join me and chat it up with tips about how they successfully integrate home management and being a wife and a mom, or maybe even just a single mom. Whatever the case, we've got it right here on Indie Business Radio, where we empower you to do your life your business your way. I hope you'll join me next week. In the meantime, have a great week, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.